Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to a brand new episode of New You City Chat. I am so, so excited to have you listening with me. We have a really, really great episode lined up. It's going to be a lot of fun, really informative, and really effective. I think the things that we're going to cover not only are something that you think about literally every day, probably more times than maybe you even want to, but at the same time, it's something that is necessary and resourceful, and something that if you can learn how to conquer it or even just coexist with it would be really helpful. So to begin, I feel like I'm getting a little bit of a weird wind noise here. Hold on, I'm going to readjust. Okay, I'm feeling less wind energy. If any of you listened to my last episode, it was 2 weeks ago, it was on Mercury retrograde. And during Mercury retrograde, there are times where technology and communication can be a little bit wonky. So I'm being very mindful of that, especially throughout the show. So we won't let it get to us. Anyway, back to today's episode. So for those of you that have not listened before, you are listening to New You City Chat. My name is Danielle Mercurio. I'm a lifestyle coach here in Manhattan, and I work with individuals that are trying to find their city groove. Maybe they've been here a while and they just still can't quite seem to adjust, or maybe they're just having trouble because they just moved here and it's not exactly what they thought it was going to be, or they're not getting their sense of routine down, or they're not meeting people, and just all those different things. So we really break down what the reason that you were brought to the city was, and then how you can make your dreams into your new reality. And so part of the shows that I have not only are for me to talk about my insights and things that I have to share, but I also love to bring on really fabulous guests that can help with any areas in your life that you may be feeling stuck, that can provide further advice and insight far beyond that I'm capable of. And so that's an aspect of the show that I hope you enjoy as well. So tonight's show is how to invest fully in your life. And where I'm talking is the area of finances, money, it's cash flow, whatever you want to call it. It's a huge, huge thing for us. And most of the time when you think about money, it seems to be a stress factor, or it seems to be a burden, or a headache, or a worry, or a pleasure, a passion, or something exciting, something to look forward to. Maybe money for us dictates our lifestyle. Maybe because we work a certain job, they set what your income is going to be, and therefore they set what your standards in life are going to be. Or maybe we date certain people because they make a certain income, and then they provide us with the life we want. There are so many things in the exchange of money, if we're grateful for it, the fear that we feel behind it. And so I wanted to kind of do a financial show for a while, but part of why I was hesitant is because, honestly, I'm not great when it comes to money. I will openly admit that. And I think that's the first step, right? Admitting your faults, admitting that you have a problem. And so while I am able to support myself, I clearly do not like the idea of anything more than that. I'm kind of the type of person to be like, all right, I'm doing okay. I'm in my nice little nest. I love my apartment. I support my lifestyle, and that should be all right. But then when I think about having to budget or having to save or anything like that, I just start to get really uncomfortable. Or I think about bills and, like, debt, credit cards. I'm just like, oh, no. And I just kind of want to all, like, shove it in that desk drawer that we have where we can, like, hide all of the ugly money stuff that we don't like. And so that was kind of what I was feeling with this topic. I was like, I don't know if I'm ready to, like, heal with all the financial stuff yet. And now I'm in a new place. I feel like we've had a really weird, wonky year for those of you, again, that have been listening to all my astrology talk. And now's the time for, like, cleansing and renewal and bringing new fabulous things into your life. And so what better area than to help clean out the financial department? So I hope that my guest that I have on will really help give you some insight with that too, and help you shift your mindset to not fear money management, but actually learn how to embrace it and coexist in a way that works really well for you. So throughout the show, we do encourage you to participate if you would like. There's a number that you can call into. It's 646-716-9397. You can also participate online. If you're listening via the link, blogtalkradio.com/LifeCoachRadioNetwork, there is a chat room. And most likely, if you're on the main page and you're on our episode page, you can scroll down and you'll find the chat room there. And you're more than welcome to post anything you want. If you have any comments, if you have a question, you can be completely anonymous, so you don't have to feel silly about anything you ask. And clearly, nothing is silly. There are no dumb questions in my book. Most of the time, the quote-unquote dumbest questions are the ones that people are dying to know the most. So don't hold back. Let it out. We're also on Twitter. My handle is at New You City. My co-host for the evening, I'll introduce in a moment, she is on it as well at the Fiscal Femme. It's FISCALFEMME. I think I said that right. And you can always tweet along with us too, which is a lot of fun. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest host so we can get right into all the fun subject matter. I had met, her name is Ashley Feinstein, and I had met her at an event a couple months ago through a mutual Life Coach Radio Network post. And I thought she was really cool. I liked her vibe. I liked her business, that she was tackling the whole financial coaching industry because there's such a big need for that, and just being so confident and cool about it, which I thought was really great too, and kind of taking down any stigmas that people may feel about it. And like I said, I felt ready to start tackling money, and here she appeared, ready to be on. So a little bit more about Ashley. She works at her business called Knowing Your Worth. And she works with clients of any kind of dimension, whether they're creating a financial plan, negotiating compensation, maintaining work-life balance, or setting expectations in a relationship. Your worth is more than a number on your bank statement, and there is a direct relationship between your success and the value you place on yourself. Ashley helps clients redefine personal finance on their own terms, look beyond the face value, and fearlessly ask for what they want. It's time to go beyond the status quo and live the life that you imagine. So with that, I'm going to officially welcome Ashley onto the show. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Danielle. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here, and thank you for that wonderful introduction and for being so honest about money in your life. I think we're going to have an amazing conversation.
Oh, yay. I'm so excited. So I love the shows where I get something out of it, too. I mean, I get something out of every show, but once in a while I'll get, like, the nuggets that I, like, start applying, like, that night, and that makes me so excited.
Awesome. I hope this is one of those.
It will be. I'm already decided it's happening. So tell me, this is the prediction. It's our intention. It will be done. So I know I gave a little brief intro, but I'd like to hear more from you just about your story, why you got into financial coaching, and how Know Your Worth came to be.
Yeah, so it's an interesting story, I think. I have an undergraduate degree in finance, and I went on to be an investment banker and then work in corporate finance. And so I had all this finance background and actually didn't know anything about personal finance. And so I thought, if I didn't know this after having all this finance background, then a lot of people probably didn't either. And so as I went through the journey of learning about it, I started to blog about it on my blog, The Fiscal Femme. And so I'm learning. I also noticed that a lot of the information was kind of daunting and complicated. And so my goal was to make it relevant and accessible and simple. And I also wanted it to be more than, I feel like a lot of personal finance information is about accumulating as much wealth as possible, and that's not necessarily everyone's goal. So personal finance is, just like the word say, is very personal. And so it's really, money's just a tool for us to create the life we really want. And so that's something that I think is very important and I work on in my coaching and my blog. And then at around the same time, after I started my blog, I had the infamous quarter-life crisis and I was like, is this it? You know, I don't really love my job. What am I doing? The same things every weekend. So I actually got a life coach, and she changed my life. And so I think, which sounds cheesy, but it's really true. And so I became a certified coach then, and then kind of married the money coaching with the life coaching.
Amazing. I love it. And Yeah, all my viewers, they know, or my listeners rather, they know I went through my own quarter life crisis as well, which also led me to get coaching and also led me to become a certified coach. So
yeah.
For anyone out there that hasn't had their crisis yet, we totally recommend it because then you can join us and be a life coach because that's probably the path that you'll come on. But that being said, I love that you just totally like took a look and you were like, no one teaches us about personal finance, because you're so right. You look at, like, majors, it's all about, like, accounting and business management and funds and investments and all these things, and it's super overwhelming, right? But you're right. No one really sits you down, and it's like, this is how you budget. Like, this is how when someone gives you a paycheck, this is what you should do. Like, sure, you get kind of, like, recommendations along the way, but a lot of times from your parents, and at that point, you're just, like, so happy to have money on your own, and you don't really want to listen to what your parents have to say anyway, because you're just like, that's mine.
Right.
And then that kind of just becomes it. And then it's like, then I guess that being said, then you have this mind mentality, and then that doesn't really always work well. And what do you do? So I think you're so right that there's just not enough awareness on the personal side of money. And it is a very, again, like you said, a personal matter. So I'm glad that you simplified it. So how did you tie in the whole idea of calling it knowing your worth? I really like that. But like, just tell me a little bit more about that concept.
Yeah. So I guess, one of the reasons I think that money becomes such a negative influence, other than ignoring it, not understanding it, is because we equate our self-worth with our net worth. And so that's really scary, and it makes you not want to talk about it. I think we don't talk about money with our friends enough. We don't. Sometimes we'll learn about it from our parents, sometimes not. It's not. It's kind of a taboo subject. And so I think having a life you want and using money as a tool is just so much more than the money. It's about asking for what you want. You know, the top line of your budget is getting paid what you're worth to have the money to do with what you want. So I think it's, and you know, it's scary to live the life you want. So I think it's bigger than money, but it is about your worth.
Yeah, absolutely. I you know, when you were talking, I literally just wrote this down. I was like, are we afraid of our own value? And so, if we're feeling insecure about ourselves, then why would you ask for that maybe extra $5,000 when you're negotiating your salary? Or why would you, you know, just even as coaches, I know it's a lot, it's pretty scary when we're first starting out to ask what we're worth when we're charging for sessions. So
right.
It really does, it is more than just a number on a piece of paper. It's really what do we equate our lives to and how do we want to be compensated for it?
Right.
Definitely. So that being said, do you think should we be more open about money? Should we be expressing to people what we make? How personal is too personal and how much is too much?
Yeah, I think in a work setting, it really depends on your closest level with people. But by talking about it, then you can realize when you're being paid less than other people. Otherwise, you might not know. I think also there's something about the energy of money that when you actually talk about it, pay attention to it, and don't ignore it. It's almost like a relationship with a friend. If you ignore it, they're not going to be a good friend to you. So I have a lot of clients who, as soon as they sign up for coaching, all of a sudden, you know, they're winning money, they get a refund from somewhere, they get a promotion, and we haven't even done much work together. It's just that they've set the intention and are giving the focus on the money. I actually brought you the question. But I had a point there. What was the question that you asked?
Yeah, no. I liked where you were going. Should we be more open about money? Like, I was just curious, personal is too personal, you know? Like, should we be blurring out to, you know, people like, hey, I make, like, $90,000 a year, and I'm proud of it? Or is that something where, like, you know, like you said, it's just way too taboo and, like, scale back?
Yeah, and I think it depends how close the people are with you. And I think talking about anything is almost like facing it, and it becomes so much less scary. When I see clients, when they have to tell me about their assets, their debts, you can tell they physically get uncomfortable and sometimes red, and they feel super uncomfortable sharing it. But as soon as they share it, it's like a huge weight off their back. It's as if they've been, like, hiding all of this information, and now it's out there, and it's very, I guess it's like lifting a weight off.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we're filling ourselves with all this unnecessary stuff, and we're not opening up the space to bring new stuff in. Something I find interesting about living in New York, is that in New York, we don't mind talking about certain things. Like, we love to say, like, where our gym is and, like, how much our monthly membership is. We love to, like, brag about our rent. So, like, in certain areas in the city, I noticed that, like, we don't mind talking about money when it comes to, like, our assets. Like, I feel like that's one of the, like, top three questions I get asked. Like, I'll just be starting to get to know someone. Like, I just moved recently. And so, I've been telling people where I moved to, and they're like, oh, how much is your rent? And I'm like, I just met you, like, a minute ago. But I'm so open. I'm like, whatever. I'm like, yes, this month, this is what I pay. So I think it's interesting how in some areas of the country, I think we're more open about it, and then in other areas, we're not as much.
Definitely. And I think, it also depends on age a lot. And I think even in the city, people are less open about the total gross income or how much have you saved for retirement. It's more, look where I'm putting my money, because people can't really figure out how much you're making by what you're paying in rent.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. So we're living outside of our means in a lot of ways, and people may or may not know it.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
Mm,
really easy to do in the city.
Yes. No, it absolutely is. And so, I think this is good. We're going to get to this later. I think, let's just get into it now because now I'm excited. Okay. So here's the thing. this is where you're getting me, like, excited right now. Okay. So we're talking about this whole idea of just, like, you make a certain salary, learning how to be open about it, learning how to just be like, I'm going to be in charge of my finances, like, I'm going to get with a coach, and then all of a sudden, like, these things start happening, and it's really great, and you just realize you're starting to become more comfortable with cash flow. Now, let's say you're not quite there yet. You're living a double life in the sense that we have the beauty, if you will, this luxury of the credit card, where you can borrow money with the promise and the intent that you will pay it back. And a lot of times, I know for me, I've opened many credit cards in my day where I had intentions of paying it back, and I assumed the money would come eventually, but I definitely didn't have the money for it right then. And so you're living this double standard. So how does that really set you back when it comes to money mindset? When you're living this, like, double life?
Well, so I always joke because there's the saying, keeping up with the Joneses. And the joke is that the Joneses are in a ton of credit card debt. So I think something to be really mindful of, and something that's one of the first things I do with clients, is figuring out your values, because there's a lot of expectations and shoulds of where you should be spending your money, what's normal to spend your money on, what the next person is doing, and it might not even make you happy, and it might be taking up a lot of your income and cash flow. So I think values are super important, knowing what's important to you, and I think that your time and your money should really point to your values. And I think a budget, or I like to call them happiness allocations, because everyone hates the word budget, but they're really just a look at what you have coming in at this moment, so what is in this moment, and then how you're going to allocate that in ways that make you the happiest. So there's some examples in my life, like when you look at anything on an annual basis, it really helps, because something stupid, like, I used to get a $4.30 latte every day to get me to work. And it seemed insignificant, especially since it made me so happy. But when I looked at it on an annual basis, I realized it was over $1,500 a year. And so I quit the habit immediately and took a trip to Spain with that money. So I think when you look at your pool of money in that way and how you spend, you can allocate it and reallocate it in ways that, maybe I'll just have coffee at work now. And so and it's so personal, and I think there's not like a right way to do it. It's more just what's important to you and what brings you the most happiness. And then you allocate it through that happiness allocation.
I like it. Wow. Like, when you put it that way, like, yeah, I'll have K-cup coffee every day. That means I can go to Spain. Right.
Exactly.
Like, totally. Yeah. Cause that answers my question. I was just thinking, so in one way, in theory, we say that, like, yes, if I don't have that $4 coffee, or if I don't have that extra $13 cocktail, or maybe I'll order the glass of wine that's a little bit cheaper, or whatever it is, not get dessert.
Right.
In the moment, though, that can be hard. It can be, because we're impulsive beings. When we see something we like, or we see something that we know is going to make us happy, to say no is really hard. So I think the way that you balance it out, saying, well, you know, by not having this piece of cake, I'm contributing to my funds to go travel to so-and-so or to whatever kind of big investment you have in mind. So I think that's a really great tip.
Right. That, yeah, I think it really helps to know why, the why behind it. And I think there are also some cool tools that I do with clients. So it's kind of redefining the goal is what I do with spending. So we think I need this car. Like, this car is what I need to make me happy. I'm going to save up for this car. But it's really the feelings that you get from purchasing the car that are the reward. So it might make you feel pampered. It might make you feel successful. And then, so, like, actually writing down the feelings that you're getting from this goal purchase. And the goal is not the car. The goal is the feeling. So then what are some other strategies to get those feelings that cost less or even are free? And I call those frugal joys. Like, if you're trying to make yourself happy, how can you find happiness in less expensive things? And it's all up to you. You're allowed to get. There shouldn't be any guilt associated with getting the car. It's just that if that's going to keep you from accomplishing your goals of having an emergency fund, moving out on your own, saving for retirement, you deserve those things too. So I think there's a, I guess, a kind of a phrase I hear a lot is, well, I deserve it. And so people work really hard, and they want that piece of cake. They deserve it at dinner. They want the coffee every day. They deserve it. But they also deserve to retire. They also deserve to not be wasting money on interest payments. So I think it's almost like a combative relationship with money, like, oh, I deserve it. I'm going to spend it on this versus, like, almost holistic and thinking, I deserve it. So I'm going to have a very strong financial life.
Wow. Oh, my gosh, I love it. So it's almost like, it's good. It's like I also deserve it, but on a larger scale. So in not, you know, indulging in this, let's say, like, this mani-pedi because I deserve it because I had a long week, I'm going to honor my long-term goals. I'm going to honor what I want on a larger scale and know that I deserve something better, you know, down the road, or know that I'm investing in something that is going to bring me more joy and happiness later on than this right now. And then tap into this whole goal feelings and the frugal joys that you were talking about, and do your own mani-pedi or whatever it is, and still realize that you can find happiness and joy through that.
Right. Yeah, and realizing, like, a lot of times, I'm doing a money cleanse program in July, and a lot of it is breaking these habits, because with just like the latte, I really thought it was a top priority. Also, something for me was shopping. Everybody, like, all women love to shop. I should love to shop, but I actually really didn't like it. And so there's things that your mani-pedi, you might have so much fun with it. I get bored unless I'm with a friend. But like, actually consciously spending, so, and decide, and like, so keeping a money journal is something I have clients do. So a lot of times we'll sit down and do a budget, and pretty much every single time I've done it with a client, it doesn't look like what they think it looks like. And so we have these credit cards. We're swiping all the time. We don't really know what we're spending on. So to actually write it down, which I get a lot of hate texts that people hate doing this, because it actually makes you be conscious of what you're spending. And sometimes you just randomly buy things that you're not even – you don't even want them. They're not making you happy. It's just like, oh, you went to the corner store and now you're getting gum. You know, it's just things So to get really conscious, and then I think there's also even, like, I think the word impulse buying, everyone, they viewed as huge, like, big expenses, binge spending, but it actually happens for us regularly where you get this rush from purchasing something, and then there's this immense guilt, having the why behind it, like we talked about, and then also just going cash and cold turkey, so almost like a food cleanse, but for money. To just cut out all frivolous spending, you'll be surprised what you don't miss.
Yes. Oh, you're so right. And, yeah, we've all done binge spending. I mean, how many times has someone said, oh, I went into Target to get shampoo, and then $75 later, I have all these things that I didn't know I needed, but in the moment, I felt that I did. And so really getting conscious, like you said, and finding that clarity and just being like, I know what happens to me when I go to Target. I know that, you know, such and such happens. So either I'm going to just get my shampoo at the grocery store or tell my husband to go buy it, or I'm just going to be like, I'm going to go right in there, realize that I just need this right now in this moment and get it and leave. So just taking those extra moments to break down what's going on before you go in, I guess, to like brace yourself, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and prepare and set an intention.
I like and it. I think know too, I like the intention.
Yeah, and I think there's like a lot of because we're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect at it, and it's commendable for trying. So I think forgiveness is really important, and maybe even having a friend or a support system that you can talk to, because, again, the food analogy, but like when you eat a piece of cake, mm-hmm. you don't have to eat the whole cake. And so sometimes right. if you mess up a little bit, you just kind of spiral, and it's you forgive yourself, we'll try again, get back on the wagon, and keep working at it, because it's definitely something that takes practice.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's, don't be afraid to fail with your finances. It's going to happen. Don't be afraid to be disappointed. Don't be afraid to have an accountability partner when it comes to money. Like we were talking about before, people get so weird about money. So if you tell someone, I'm having money problems, it's that's a really hard thing to say, because people view that then as, well, what's wrong? Like, what are they doing wrong? Why can't they make a certain income? Or why? What's causing them to spend so much money? Why don't they have any control? And so then it goes back mm-hmm. to even further what you were saying about our self-worth and how that's connected to our values. So to just be open and say, you know, admit that you're not doing so great with your money. And honestly, most people would probably say back, you know what, I'm not an expert or a pro with my money either. And there could be some, I can't think of the word, but yeah, comfort in that too.
Yeah, and I think, too, you could be having problems, or I'm so much about self-improvement, and a lot of people who are tackling this are actually really good at money. They just want to do it even better. They want to be maximizing every single dollar. And so they could be, like you said, you're supporting yourself. Everything's going great financially. You just know that there are some areas where you could be doing better. So you don't even have to say, I have a money problem. Or you can if you think you do, but you might just be wanting to do even better.
Yeah, I want to like, exactly, I like it. So just kind of brush off all the loose ends, the little like money monkeys that are
yeah.
dangling around. Yeah, I like
and
it. That's what I'm calling it.
My money monkey. When else too, whenever I have a client come in and they think their finances are a mess, they're actually in a fine place. So I think we also are extra hard on ourselves when it comes to our finances.
Yeah, interesting. Like we are with many other things. It's funny, I like that you refer this to food, because I do see a lot of analogies with this. Intending, binge eating. A lot of times we think we're way unhealthier than we actually are. We think we look worse than we actually do. And so there's a lot of correlation going on with that, which is interesting.
Yeah, a lot of emotion tied to money and food.
Yes, yes. Oh, money and food. So with so what you were saying, too, about just, like, having people help you and work with your impulses, one thing that I think is a hard situation, I'd like to just talk about this and then we'll take a quick break, saying no when you're around other people. So a lot of times, let's say you're out to dinner, and in your mind, you went to that dinner and you said, you know, at dinner, I really don't want to spend more than, let's say, $50. And that's, you know, when you sit down to order, you kind of go through and you pick what you want and you realize you honor that. And then you know, your friends are like, oh, let's just get another drink or let's get some coffee, and that goes over your $50. How do you deal with that without feeling like embarrassed or just being like, oh, well, if they're all doing it, I'll do it too and give in?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I, in my money cleanse, I call them environmental toxins. So you have this great plan. Now you know what's important to you. You're going to spend consciously. But if the people, your close friends around you are going shopping every day and going to expensive dinners, you might be able to hold off for a while by just not buying anything, or but you're eventually, it's going to be really difficult and it probably will affect you. So I think first thing is really being open about it. So what your goals are. And, you know, again, with the food, like sometimes when you want to eat healthy, it makes other people feel bad. Like they say, oh, so it is tough. Like if you're not spending, people might feel bad that they're spending. But I think it's really helpful to have people who are doing this with you. So if you get people on board, get them excited about it, and maybe you can come up with events and places that will set you up for this
failure. So if, let's say drinks are half the price at some place and another place, and you can go and have two drinks with them, or you set aside that there's always those friends that spend a lot more than you, and to limiting the amount of times a month that you actually go to an expensive restaurant with them, because before you go somewhere, you know how much it probably will be. And I do think, like, for example, shopping is really just walking around, and unless you have a goal in mind, you're just creating things you want by looking around. So that's always a tough day date with friends.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you're right.
Being
you're
open.
I would say being open, telling them what you're doing, trying to get them on board with you. It's like if you go to the gym with a friend, it's so much more fun. So anything with friends is fun.
Nice. So, yeah, just kind of shift the focus and be open and have a plan and, you know, be okay with, you know, I think sometimes too it just comes down to acceptance. Being okay with maybe there is, you know, when you're shopping, you're right. I like what you said. We all of a sudden start creating all these things we want that we didn't even know we wanted. But when you see them all and they're so pretty and you think about how good it'll look on you and then you decide to try it on and then your friend tells you how great you look, the salesperson tells you how great you look, the random guest in the dressing room next to you tells you how great you look, and before you know it, you're like, oh, my God, I'm in love, and you're running up to the cash register. So
now you need it.
To just... Yeah, exactly. Right. The need has now arisen. And I know I've definitely been in that situation. And that, and I guess those situations were definitely moments where my self-worth was a lot lower. And so I needed that validation from other people. And I knew I could get it in that environment because I knew that it was an environment where people were going to be nice and they weren't going to say, most of the time, even if something doesn't look great on you, people are still pretty good about it. You know,
yeah,
it's like
are.
A, you know, like they're not like, you know, like, oh, like take that off, it's disgusting, or like you look terrible. You know, they're going to be like, yeah, it's always pretty supportive for the most part. And just realizing that you're there to just have fun and know what your needs are. And again, I think awareness with anything is always key. So I think just you talking about this and talking about these situations makes me more aware that that's actually what goes on when I go in a store or whatever activity that involves money is. It grounds you a little bit more. It makes you see that things are a little bit different than they actually are, and it makes you assess, again, the needs, like you said. So that's really valuable.
Yeah, and it's something else I think about when we talk about this and getting comfortable about it to talk about with friends is we can prioritize certain things. Like I profile people I call savvy spenders, and everybody doesn't think they're good enough to be a savvy spender, but we learn from all of them because there's things they do really well and things that they admit they could work on. But if you pick something, like one of my savvy spenders, she loves sushi. And so she spends money on sushi. And I think if your friends understand your values and what you're going to be spending money on, it's not that you're too poor to go to dinner. It's just that you don't value an expensive dinner over a cheaper dinner, and you'd rather put that money in a place that would make you the happiest. You actually just value their company, and you don't really care what you're eating. A foodie might disagree and say, no, that value of that dinner is so much to me, I want to spend the money on it. So it's really just saying, it's splitting up your pie. So you could technically, it's not like you can't afford that dress you want. It's just you'd rather not and go on a trip or get that share house or put it in savings for your first house.
Yeah, so just prioritizing, really.
And it's a reframe. It's not that you can't. It's that you don't. You're choosing not to. So it's very powerful. Versus, I don't have enough money for this. You know.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That's so much more powerful. I felt the shift when you said that. Like I am choosing not to. That's like yeah. No, it's my decision, and it's owning it.
I'm writing that down. I'm choosing not to. And then I love it. Okay, this is beautiful. Especially for like New Yorkers to say that. Like it sounds.
Like it. Okay, cool. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about finances, and I want to kind of get into how you can develop a gratitude practice around money, and if the law of attraction is really connected to all that, and whatever else comes up in my head.
All right.
Perfect.
I'm going to put you on a brief hold, Ashley, and we'll be back in just a moment.
All right, everyone. So if you're listening, you are listening to the Life Coach Radio Network. If you are new, you have not heard my show about it before. And so basically the Life Coach Radio Network is it's been around for a little over a year now. And it's one channel of three
There's also the Life Coach International Network and the Life Coach Chat channel. And throughout the three channels, we have around 30 coaches right now that do either solo shows or have group shows together, and they all come from a variety of life coaching backgrounds. We have some social workers, we have health coaches, nutritionists, different kinds of doctors, lots of different ideas and specialties for anyone, really. So that's the beauty of this network, is that no matter what it is that you're looking to kind of get some help on or some insight, you can probably find it. And the great thing is, as well, is all of our episodes are archived. If you can't listen live, we're on iTunes if you look up Life Coach Radio Network, or you can always just go to our website, lifecoachradionetwork.com. And I just want to give a quick plug for our next show on the Life Coach Radio Network. That's the station that you're listening to right now. And it's in 2 days, on Thursday, June 19th, at noon Mountain Standard Time. So that is 2 p.m. if you're on the East Coast. And it is with our coach, Leanne Parsons. And she specializes in working with adoptees and their families. And she is going to be having on her show Becky Wright, who is an award-winning singer-songwriter, conference speaker, and author. Her music is playing on over 1,000 radio stations around the world from her most recent album, Heart of Adoption. Her fifth album of Worship and Hymns is due out this fall, as well as her first book. They are going to talk about how you can be reunited, basically in the realm of adoption, how you can be a reunited adoptee, a mom, a warrior wife, a stylist, a servant leader, a radio host, and speaker. You can basically do it all, and you shouldn't let the feeling of being adopted hold you back from anything in life. So her and Becky Wright, who was also adopted, are going to be talking just about how that life goes and what you can make of it yourself. So Leanne's always really fun. She's really funky and energetic. So you want to tune into her show. It's on Thursday at noon Mountain Standard Time. And again, you can listen to any of our past shows or learn about upcoming programs by going to Life Coach Radio Network. That's plural, lifecoachradionetwork.com. All right, so with that, we're going to go back to the show with Ashley. She has been on with us talking about how you can shift your mindset around money. Basically, what I feel like she's doing right now, she's kind of building up our financial backbone, if you will, or making you kind of forced into having one. A lot of times we have fear, or we feel just uncomfortable talking about money. We don't own it. We don't respect it. So it's time to just kind of step up and say, no, like, I'm done. Enough is enough. And I'm going to own my worth and keep moving on, and find in turn that by what I'm learning anyway is that by not always just doing what I think I need or deserve in the moment, if maybe I just invest a little bit further, I'll find that there's something even more rewarding in the long run. This is a really cool idea as well. So with that, Ashley, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. And I think that was an amazing recap.
Ah, thank you. I'm glad that I am taking it all in as you feel necessary.
So I guess, okay, go ahead. For abundance, before talking about how to create more abundance and your money mindset, I'm thinking that, so regardless of how much money you're making, if you have certain beliefs about money that are pretty common, you're not going to be able to attain wealth and keep the money. So sometimes these beliefs were raised with them. We hear them from authority figures, but you might hear, like, money is greed, money is stressful, because that's what you saw with your family, or if you have money, people will use you. You know, there's all these negative things that if deep down you believe them, there's no way you're going to keep money. Why would you want to? So I think addressing some of those and even just looking at the people that you respect around you and love, like what they think about money, can help you get some awareness around this and seeing what your actions. Like if money burns a hole in your pocket, then there's probably something negative about money deep down that you're thinking about.
So it's clearing that space.
Yeah. Then, so I actually, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going.
So I love this abundance practice that I learned actually from Luna Jaffe, and she has a beautiful book, and it's an artistic version of learning personal finance. So there's a lot of drawing, but my favorite exercise was creating your, I forget the exact word she uses, but it's like a money catcher. So money entering your life, if it was entering through the sky, like how would you be catching it? What is your money catcher look like and now, and what do you want it to look like? So is it like this huge catcher, or is it really small and you like hardly are catching anything? And so I think that's a pretty powerful graphic explanation of abundance.
Yeah, no, it totally is. And I'd be interested for anyone that's listening to just really think, as soon as she said that and gave us that imagery, what did you think of? Did you think of yourself holding just like a little, you know, like fishnet-looking money catcher, or were you picturing a really, really large one, almost like bigger than you could hold, and you were like toppling over because it was just like such a big catcher to like take in all that sum? Like, think about that. What was your first initial picture that came to your mind? And I think that might give you some insight about what you feel about money right now and, yeah, where you're at.
Yeah, and you can also, like, so you want it to be catching a lot probably, but it also don't want it to be burdensome mm-hmm. to you. So there's fun ways that you can have it, like, slide down and catch more and not, because you don't want to have all this money weighing you down with this huge money catcher, but you also don't want a teeny little bucket. So it's really thinking about what you would want. What are the colors? Like, how does it feel? So it's a really fun exercise that I love.
Yeah, I really like that. I encourage people to do that, especially if it's just like brainstorm or like sketch out. And I'm glad that you brought up too, what if it's too much money? You don't want money to weigh you down. And like, I guess that's where the greed aspect comes in.
Yeah.
And so,
maybe
that being said,
sliding.
Wait, say it again?
So, yeah, so I guess it's not that too much money is actually greed. It's that you're perceiving it that way in your money basket.
Got it. Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Would you ever say that too much money is just too much? Is there such a thing?
You know what? I think that's a great question. I think viewing money as a tool, it's more tool. It's not like it's just physical paper that we use for things. So if you're, it just depends how you're using it. If you have the most money in the world and you are helping the world with it and you are using it in impactful things, I don't think there's too much money.
Yeah, that's cool. I think most people will agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, so another question with the law of attraction. I actually had someone that wrote in saying that they were recently starting a new business, and financially it's just not where they want it to be. They keep wanting, in the form of law of attraction, to manifest more money because they believe that if they want it bad enough, it will come, however, still feeling stuck. What do you recommend? So I guess that kind of, you know, I guess the question then would be, well, I'll just let you answer it and see what you say.
Something I love, and this is just one tool, one place to start, but when you're actually receiving money in a business transaction, if you become aware of how you're actually receiving it, like, are you apologetic, like, oh, sorry for taking your money, or are you, like, so grateful, thank you, this is going to grow my business, and to really take notice of how you're accepting the money, because it is definitely, like you mentioned before, a gratitude practice, also when you're giving money, so just notice how you experience life flowing around the money coming in and out of your business. And I think that's a great place to start to see. I think wanting and manifesting are very different things, and starting to actually live abundance. Another way is, often it's hard to say money in my life, it's not abundant, let's just make it abundant. And I think it's helpful to look at places in your life where you really truly are abundant. So if you're, but even if it's like just laughter or with your family or with friends, that you feel like there's enough, there's plenty, it's copious. I've never like wanting for more, and kind of look how that looks and see how you can apply it to areas in your life that are less abundant.
Oh, that's a great idea. I really like that. Because we take them for granted sometimes, actually. The things that, it's so funny because we're always looking for something to make us happy. And then the moments that actually do, we sometimes take for granted.
Yeah.
That is very, very helpful. So, yeah. So, and I also like what you said about how are you receiving your money and accepting your money. And I'm curious, do you believe in, like, money karma? So you mentioned giving back. What's a good strategy for that, especially when people say that they're, you know, they don't make a lot of money or they're struggling with money, but I feel like I should give back. What would you say to somebody like that?
I think that is, it's definitely a personal thing. I think definitely giving in some form makes people feel good, and especially during a hard time, like brings you out of yourself and feeling sorry for yourself. But that could be in the form of time, money, but more in when I'm saying, well, I guess that was from earlier, but then when you're, I think, feeling proud about, as a business, about your service, if you really believe that it's something that's beneficial to people, that's a way of giving, too, by just being in business.
Mm. Right. So don't always look at giving back in the form of money.
Right.
You can get back in other
ways. If you don't have it, you know. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Or a very small
right.
amount of money. It doesn't have to be big.
Mm-hmm. Right. We don't have to always get so stuck on certain ways. And even like what you were saying about when you look at your money and when you're looking to not cut back but invest differently, I'm starting to learn the way that you think and say things as opposed to, you know, kind of making them sound negative. You know, look for ways that you can physically or verbally just enjoy life and realize that you don't have to be so attached to the materialistic, and you don't always have to give that way either. You can find ways to volunteer, just like you can find ways to go have fun by sitting in the park with a friend and chatting, which can be just as fun as doing it over drinks or, you know, in the shopping mall. It could be more so because you're less distracted by anything else. You're just focused on that other person.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's one of the drawbacks of attaining physical goods is that they never fulfill us the way we think they will or hope they will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just distractions. Why do you think that we use money as a way to distract us?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it can get pretty tangled. Yeah, I think it can get pretty tangled. It's an emotional subject. Because it allows us to attain things, we compare ourselves with it. So I think there are a lot of things that get in there and make it all fuzzy. But at the end of the day, it's just the way you attain things and create a life.
Right. Right. That's all that money really is. It's just an end to a mean. Is that how you say it? Or means to an end?
Yeah, we just give it a lot of power.
Yeah, no, we definitely do. And so when you start to lessen that power and realize that it's not all that is cracked up to be, kind of like, again, food. A lot of times, like, you might want something so bad. There have been times where I've been, like, I'm, like, craving something. I don't know. You know, and you just keep thinking about, let's say, like, this, like, great turkey club somewhere. And so I'm craving that turkey club all day long. And then, like, I go and I get it. And then I, like, you know, you take a few bites, and you're like, oh, this is so good. And then it just kind of starts to lose its power over you. It starts to lose its charm. But you still eat it anyway because you wanted it so bad and you had been thinking about it all day. Or maybe, like, you know, the chef wasn't that usually makes it wasn't there and it wasn't done as well. So you never really know. And so
right.
you can't really invest in anything because you don't really know the outcome when you get – because it's in somebody else's hands. When you're doing anything where you're not the one in the power, you don't really know how it's going to make you feel.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, when you think about how this, like, money being distracting and how it kind of just builds up power in our society, too. If you think about people who work in jobs they hate their whole life just because they have to make enough money, like, think about that. Like, someone sacrificing their whole life for money, and that's not that uncommon. And then when you said you said you're not really in control when you purchase something. I just wrote an article with Daily Worth on happiness and money, and studies show experiences and things where you're building connections with people actually build much more happiness than physical things.
Yeah, and that's something really important to remember. But it's so funny how our society works, though, because we just don't think that way. We don't say, wow, I had a really great, like, you know, like, how was your day? Like, oh, I had a really great laugh with my girlfriend today. Or, you know, like, we think, you know, we don't like, recap
yeah.
that way. Or, you know, or we always want to know, okay, where are you going on vacation? Or, what, you know, we're never asking about experiences. Or, you know, like, oh, you know, like, we'll talk about the weather, how it was nice out. But we're not like, why? How did it make you feel? We're like, no, like, we went out to brunch and we ate outside because it was so nice out. Like, we always have to put something further, some
right.
kind of material, physical object into it all.
Right. I was mentally zen all day. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's very interesting. So with that idea then of just, you know, focusing on happiness and real connections and trying to negate a little bit of how society has dictated us to around money, which, again, going back to what we were saying in the very beginning, how no one even tells us how to personally manage our finances, and yet it overrules our society and our world so much, which is so crazy.
Yeah.
How can you embrace this feeling of freedom from your money, being free, being completely, like, just detached from it?
I call that being at the source of financial freedom. I think so powerful. And it's basically like, who was I? I was talking to someone. Oh, I was talking to someone, and they were saying, we were talking about budgeting, and they were like, what's your shopping budget? And I'm like, oh, nothing. And they're like, I was like, yeah, it's zero. And they're like, yeah, right, it's not zero. And I was like, no, it's zero. I quit my job. I can go wherever I want. I'm living my dream. But my shopping budget is zero. And that's the source of financial freedom. It's like that is what I wanted. That is what I chose. And I'm completely free because of it, which is amazing. And I think when you look at your choices, your spending choices in that way, where, you know, you feel like you're a slave to your job because you need the money to pay this, but it's, and you might be for a little while until you can save enough, or if you get a different job that could pay more, or whatever it is. There's not one right way. But to look at your spending in that way and realize that we have a lot of choice, how amazing financial freedom is when we're not a slave to our buying things, to keeping up with people, and powerful.
It really is. I can't get over how much you just change perspectives on things so well. You do an amazing job of it, and you're so right. Like, just becoming no longer a prisoner to what you can't have, and be really open and appreciative and grateful for what you do and what you've created. And like you said, when you left your job, you went with certain, you knew that there was going to be certain things that you would need to do to create the lifestyle that you wanted, and you didn't look at it as, oh, look what I'm giving up. You looked at it as, look what I'm gaining. Yeah, I don't have a shopping
right.
budget, but I have this, this, and this. I mean, that sounds way
exactly.
better.
Right, and, like, what you have to prioritize. So if I'm going to be going to dinner with my friends, if I'm going to be traveling, you know, you have to give somewhere. You can't be maximizing
mm-hmm.
everything as far as your spending.
Right, and that just goes with balance. And also, even the law of attraction, in a way. I mean, the law of attraction only works with creating a balanced system. It can only give you what you have room for, and if you're just constantly just like go, 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 spend, you can't keep up, and you're not really getting anywhere. You're just going to kind of tire your finances out, so to speak.
You're on the finance rat race.
Yes, I like it. That's so great. So this, like, you have been so insightful, so informative. Like I said at the beginning of the call, I'm going to get a lot out of this, which I totally did. Like I said, you really, really clearly understand personal finance, and you understand how people operate around it. You understand kind of the excuses we make and how we feel and how it's holding us back in life, and how, like you said also, that we're really just sometimes we're just so afraid to live the life that we want to live. We find detours. We find distractions. And sometimes money is a really great way to do that. Money is a great way to set us up for failure, because you get yourself into debt and you can't do certain things, or if you spend your money in one area, then you can't do something else that maybe you really wanted but you were a little bit scared to do, so you made an excuse for yourself. And you see all of that, and you kind of are like, no, we're going to cut through it. We're going to do it in a way that's manageable and more refreshing and obtainable. So I think that's just a really, really great approach, and I really love that this is what you do, because clearly it's aligned with you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you could tell I love this stuff a lot.
Oh, you do. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying thank you. This is such a wonderful conversation, and I'm so excited that you're excited.
Yeah, no, I am. And so it's beautiful. And I can say you're so happy about it. It's clearly you love it so much, and you're financially free, like you said. And that just goes to show you right there, when you don't have any negativity or are able to just be open and honest, you're really able to, not only for you, you've found something you were passionate about through money. You've made it your career, but other people can learn to just, even if they're just looking to coexist with it. I think that's a beautiful thing right there. So I think it's wonderful. So that being said, I'd love to hear more. I know you mentioned your money cleanse that you have coming up. So I'd love for you to tell our listeners a little bit more about that and what it entails, when it starts, all that good stuff.
Yes, I am so excited about it. And you mentioned this too, just like you're ready to cleanse and it's a new beginning and in the summer. So I think I love the idea. And it's going to be a 31-day cleanse starting July 1st. And it's going to be 5 live teleclasses. So people can join from anywhere. And we'll also have a private Facebook group, because I think money, it's scary to share with people in person, but it's easier to share virtually. But you still have that support system and can say, this is what I'm struggling with. Do you have any ideas for this? And I encourage friends to sign up together, because, like I said, if you can make fun dates with your friend that don't cost as much money, or both of you can tell all your friends, oh, we're going to have you over for wine tonight because we don't want to go out for drinks. You know, it's easier to do that with a friend, and you can also lean on them and the Facebook group. It's going to be 31 days. The first week we're going to cut out frivolous spending as defined by you, and really just take note of what's going on, open, forgive failure, admit everything to the Facebook group. And then we're going to really get clear on what's important to us and add back in that spending in the second week. And then the third week, we're going to really work on the environmental toxins and the friends and the places and the people that really influence our spending in a way that we are not happy with, and how we combat those, or I guess more mitigate those environmental toxins. And then the last week we'll just be to really solidify it, so that when I send everyone off, they feel really confident in their new spending.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. And like I was saying before, you just seem to really like hit the target areas that people need most when it comes to that. So this is really cool. And again, timing sounds great. I think it's a good time of year to really just take a focus and then feel like you can enjoy the rest of your summer and move into fall and all the good stuff that goes with that, and crazy holiday spending and all that good stuff. So how can people find out if they want to sign up for the cleanse?
Yeah, so my website is knowingyourworth.com, and you can get to the cleanse through there, through the events page, or through my blog, The Fiscal Femme. And you really can connect with me in a million ways, because I'm on Twitter through The Fiscal Femme, and Instagram and Pinterest, but probably through the website would be the best way to do it.
Yes, go to the website. I'm the same way. I'm on every social media platform there is. If there isn't one, please let me know so I can get on it, because it's just so crazy. There's so many.
Yeah, there's some I don't know the names of yet, but someday.
Yeah. Yeah, you're in like the big five, like the top five contenders, so that's good. You're fine.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for just taking the time to come on the show tonight. And you shared so many just great resources, and just were so passionate about it, and so many great tips. Like I said, I was so excited, because I knew that I would be getting a lot out of it. It exceeded my expectations, which I'm so grateful for, and I'm excited to kind of put some of this to practice myself. And for that, I am just super grateful. And again, thank you just for taking the time and having fun with me tonight.
Of course. And if you have any follow-up questions, don't hesitate. And I can send you my happiness allocation spreadsheet if you want to check it out. Yeah.
I would love that. Yeah, absolutely. And anyone else that's listening, like, contact her through your website or through her website, Knowing Your Worth, and she'll be able to set you up as well. So thank you so much. I would love that.
Thank you so much, Danielle.
All right, great. Well, I'm sure we will talk soon, and have a great night.
Thanks. Thank you, everyone.
Hi, Ashley. So that was so awesome. Like I said, there are certain shows where I just have so much fun letting people kind of just share what they know and really give our listeners insight and just beautiful little nuggets. And most of the time I have these, like, you know, Oprah moments where you're like, that's a tweet, and it's super exciting and inspirational. And this is one where I just felt like, oh, my God, I just got, like, cracked down on some things that I can do myself and really shift my thinking. And I know that when I feel that way, I know that my listeners have to be feeling that way, too. So that gets me just really, really excited. So I'm just so glad that I was able to give such a resourceful show for this evening. So that being said, I really hope that you enjoyed it as well, and really just take your money matters to heart a little bit differently, and also not be afraid to grow a little bit of a financial backbone and not let your money have all the power. Remember that you have the power. And remember that in honoring yourself, you're honoring all areas of your life, no matter what part of it is. And that's really what matters. Because at the end of the day, I always say this, that last breath you take at night is yours. And it needs to be a beautiful, calming, you know, breath. And anything you can do to make that happen is just not only you, but then to all the other people that are in your world as well. So always just, you know, try to take this advice to heart. Do the best you can. Be gentle with yourself. Don't forget to forgive and just always honor you in the process. So great show tonight. I'm so happy that you tuned in. The next show will be the first Tuesday in July. I can't think of the date off the top of my head. I want to say maybe July 1st. I could be wrong, but we're going to say that for now. It's always the first and third Tuesdays of every month. We'll have a great show lined up for you. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with me, you can go to my website, newyoucitycoaching.com. Like I was saying before, I'm on all social media platforms. You can also find me on our website, lifecoachradionetwork.com. My next event is going to be in New York City. It's actually going to be in Central Park. I was thinking about ways to offer my services that wouldn't be so costly, so we're actually going to do a free meditation in the park, in Central Park. I actually haven't decided where in the park we're going to have to. Yeah, I'm going to go scout it out this weekend, and the location will be updated if you're looking on my website or on Facebook. So it's my event, Meditation and Margaritas. The first hour will lead you through different guided meditations. You'll get some tarot card readings for insights on the month. And then if you'd like, we're all going to go out for margaritas after. And I'd love to have you join. We've had a few now, and they're a really fun event. You can go to my website again, newyoucitycoaching.com, for the details, or they're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/newyoucitycoach. All right, with that being said, I hope everyone has a great rest of the evening into your week and rest of the month for that matter. Remember to just always in life honor yourself, stay open to the possibilities, and just please keep dreaming. I'll talk to you all next time. Thank you.